Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. 0 to 3. We all know that those earliest years in a child's life are critical, and a new study out today suggests they're even more critical than we knew, that what happens to your brain before you were 3 years old could have a lifelong effect on your well-being and how much you cost society in midlife. Here to tell us more is Carrie Goldberg, host of WBUR's Common Health Blog. Hello, Carrie.
Hello, Meghna.
Okay, so tell us about this study.
Okay, so it's just out in the journal Nature Human Behavior, and here's how one of the researchers summed it up. She said, about 20% of the population use the lion's share of public services. And so that means all kinds of social services that taxpayers fund, like healthcare, criminal courts, prisons, insurance claims, welfare benefits. And that same one-fifth, so what we could call the expensive people or the expensive problem people, they even smoked more than half of all cigarettes, and they accounted for two-fifths. So it's one-fifth of the population accounting for two-fifths of the pounds in the obesity category. Mm-hmm. So that's not news, right? That some people cost society more than others. But what is news is that the researchers could link those high expenses to the health of these expensive people's brains all the way back when they were just 3 years old.
Wow. Okay. So just one thing though, expensive problem people, not maybe we shouldn't couch it that way because these things are complicated. I don't necessarily think that we should call them a problem, but...
Their problems are
their
expensive.
Their problems are expensive.
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yes,
thank you for the clarification.
Yes.
Good. Okay, important clarification.
Yes.
All right. So these researchers were able to say that how these people's brains worked when they were 3 years old gave us an indication on the challenges they'd face later in life. So how did they measure that?
Right. So this research was done using a very famous, very long-running study called the Dunedin Birth Cohort. It's based in the southern New Zealand city of Dunedin. And it's one of these amazing studies. It's followed a group of nearly 1,000 people since they were born in 1972-73. And it's turned up all kinds of really interesting findings. Like they've even managed to sort of link how your genes may interact with your negative experiences to make you more or less prone to depression. Like if you have a certain gene and you have one negative experience or two negative experiences, that makes you more likely to actually get depressed.
Okay, so in terms of the ages 0 to 3 and that effect, its effect later in life, what exactly did they find?
So they measured the brain health in these little 3-year-olds. Like if you were, say you were in the study, they'd be looking for, well, how well can you understand what adults are saying to you? Or how good are your motor skills? Like can you stand on one foot with your eyes shut? Or how well can you control your own emotions and impulses? Like can you get through this research without throwing a tantrum. And the central finding here was that those measures of brain health were very strong predictors of whether those little 3-year-olds would end up in this cohort of, I guess we're calling them people with very expensive problems, by the time they were nearing 40. So here's the senior researcher, Terry Moffitt of Duke University.
Our paper seems to identify a very small group of children who turn out to be hugely costly to the public purse, and that would seem to lead naturally to the conclusion that what we need to do is find out who those children are now and send someone out to do something about that.
Now, of course, we already know, Meghna, that kids with various disadvantages and challenges need early intervention and extra help. The earlier, the better. But this new paper kind of adds even more ammunition to the argument for paying for those early interventions because it connects the dots between that early brain health challenges and these incredibly expensive midlife costs, like the extra health care that you need, say, if you smoke and need a lot of medications. So the researchers had to wait all these years until the Dunedin people got old enough that they reached midlife to count these costs. And now they can. And fortunately, New Zealand has these great public databases that let them connect all those dots.
Okay, so this is compelling research here, but isn't there a risk also that, you know, one might end up targeting children at young ages and say, you know, okay, you're testing to have these certain skills or lack of skills now, so therefore you're going to cost society a lot in the future? And we're seeing this is a correlation, not necessarily causation.
Absolutely only a correlation, not a causation. Also, it's in New Zealand, which is a very different kind of country, you know, much more homogeneous. And so there are a lot of cautions here. But the researchers say, you know, it is helpful to understand that say, a person on welfare, a person in prison or costing a lot in Medicaid, that they were already massively disadvantaged, or they might have been massively disadvantaged at age three. So that could give you a feeling of compassion as opposed to blame.
Absolutely. I mean, but it just, this still seems somewhat fraught, though, because, I mean, I love these longitudinal studies, but, you know, in this case, we also have issues like lifelong poverty, especially in places like the United States, racism, lack of access to health care, these other confounding factors that makes me wonder if this initial study could be, I don't know, dangerously deterministic.
Right. You don't want to be deterministic. You don't want to say this is your destiny at all, right? But at the same time, it could be adding value. So I asked Dr. Jack Shonkoff about this. He's the director of the Center for the Developing Child at Harvard, and he's a real thought leader. He has been for many years on these issues of early interventions to protect kids' brains against the stresses of poverty and other childhood adversity. So he says the key is to recognize risk factors in kids, but also to be aware that a risk factor is not a destiny, it's not a diagnosis.
So if you have a pile up of risk factors in your life, it means that you have an increased probability for a problem, but it doesn't mean you have a problem. We have to make a choice. We could either say this is too subject to misuse and therefore we're not going to use it at all. Or we could say we're going to be thoughtful and not prematurely label children.
Okay, Kira, so I have to ask at this point in time, moving forward, do we have studies that show the long-term efficacy of early interventions? I mean, that's the whole point here, right? Like, do we know for sure that they can reduce things like those societal costs we were talking about later in life?
Right, because the idea would be you figure out which kids need them and then you give them to them, right? And so you help them out. And the answer is some studies have found long-term gains. You know, sometimes other studies have found that they fade. But actually, just today, a study was out that found that investing in early preschool it brings you like a 13% return. Like it's much better than investing in the stock market. Studies have found that there are lower rates of prison, for example, more economic productivity in the kids who get rich, good early intervention.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Well, Kerry Goldberg is host of WBUR's Common Health blog. You can find a link to the paper that we're discussing about based on that longitudinal study in New Zealand. A link is at our website, radioboston.org. Kerry, thank you so much as always.
You're welcome.
That's it for today. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.